Tennessee holds steady at number two in the recruiting rankings. That average star ranking went down a little bit over the last 2 days. Trinity Bell comes in as an 87, Cody, whereas Tennessee's average right now is hovering around 89.7. It's close to the 90 average ranking. Not that that's the end-all, be-all, but I'm just saying that's how you are ultimately going to judge this class and how it'll get sorted out when everybody has 25 commits.
Yeah, so he's skewing us down a little bit. But, you know, you got to look at the offers. That's always important. Look at who you beat.
This guy, I mean, like I said, this guy is somebody we wanted. And in one breath, we have always said trust Jerry Pruitt's evaluations and, like, trust them to develop because they've done a pretty good job at that. So, like, I don't get mad about it either way. Like, I've maintained for me, recruiting comes down to give me five or six blue chips that I can look at. And even I could be like, that's an NFL player or a guy that should be on track for the NFL. Those are typically your five stars, right? Guys you could look and say, that's T. Higgins. He is going to go to the NFL.
Those are the guys that stand out when you just look at them.
So I like having five or six of them in a class, and Tennessee has done that. So the rest of this filler stuff, like if you can get more elite guys, obviously that would be better. If you could go from six blue chips to 10 blue chips, that's ideal. But otherwise, Tennessee over the last 2 years has turned players from not good in college to good in college. So I don't get overly worried about these type of commitments.
Yeah, they seem to be able to develop a lot better than the last staff could, you know. So, and you just got to look at the talent on the staff, the coaching staff. I mean, pretty much everybody recognizes that Tennessee's got one of the best staffs in the country. So I think you got to trust them. Just knowing that, I think you got to trust them to go out and get the right players because they are used to picking out talent.
And the class isn't done. We talked about that yesterday with our Georgia argument. Like, you could still get rid of five or six of these three stars if you could upgrade. And Tennessee is still in the mix with some big-time players. So nothing is set in stone.
Yeah, if you have some major players start to trickle in, you know, you'll do what has to be done.
Are we at that point now where every time Tennessee gets a commitment, we are looking for the positives of it?
Well, I mean, the offer list is always a positive. Like, if they've got SEC offers, you can't just look at them and be like, why did we let this guy commit? You know what I mean? If they've got SEC offers, I think they'll have a chance to play in the SEC.
Well, we had the Kameem Marley guy, right? And he didn't really have the SEC offers. But we looked at him and said, well, look at his rating. He's a top 150 athlete, and you have Mike Farrell saying this guy is, you know, maybe the best player in this class for Tennessee so far. So, like, we kind of moved the goalposts when convenient.
Well, he was more of a head-scratcher to me, though. Like, he is the fifth highest-rated prospect in the class, but it is weird that he doesn't have any SEC offers.
I mean, he had an offer from Florida, which, at this point, I don't even care who Dan Mullen's offering because
and Ohio State and Penn State, right?
Right, yeah, but we're just talking strictly SEC. But, yeah, he had some from some good schools.
Yeah. So maybe it's not moving the goalposts too much if we...
Because right here...
I mean, he did have some good offers.
Auburn and Florida, and then at Kentucky. That's all of the SEC offers that Trinity Bell had right now. And I know that's not the end-all, be-all. I understand that.
Kiffin was interested. I guess they hadn't offered, though.
Yeah, they said they had did some work on him, but they had not officially offered. But this guy's a big-time athlete. Like, he has offers to play basketball, too. But like I said, I think he'll be somebody who ends up on the defensive line. Maybe a strong side defensive end, I think, is what people are projecting him for Cody. Put him there, get his athleticism. At his size, with his athleticism, I would imagine he'd be somebody who could cut, knock down a lot of passes at the line, too. 6'6" with basketball offers. I'm imagining he can get up a good 10 and a half, 11 feet in the air and be able to really get into passing lanes, which is a pretty big asset to have.
He's probably got some hops.
And if he bulks up even more and ends up as an interior lineman, like that helps too with batting passes down. Not your Terrence Cody nose tackle that's going to eat up space, but your interior lineman that, you know, can either get to the pass, get to the quarterback, or stand up and just knock the ball down.
Right.
On those quick read option plays.
Yeah, he's more of that that five technique.
And, I mean, he I don't think he is somebody who, like, could play basketball. Like, I know they said he had offers at the basketball level, but, like, I don't think he's somebody that would play, like, into Rick Barnes' future or anything like that.
What level did he have offers basketball-wise?
That's a good question.
I mean, was it any?
It's a good question. It just says he had offers. Like, I don't think it's like he's one of these. Like, the players we got last year that were, like, top 100 basketball, top 150 football. Remember those guys?
Yeah. A couple of those guys are going to play basketball, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. Right? Was that even this year, or was that earlier this class? It might have been earlier than this class.
I think it was maybe this year.
Yeah. It's been a long year, bro.
Yeah. I don't remember who they are.
I'm looking up his basketball stuff. Nothing huge. I mean, St. Louis is a pretty good program, or was at one point. UAB, Jacksonville State. So, I mean, like, he's not an SEC level player, I wouldn't think.
St. Louis had a couple of good tournament runs.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, was it Rick Majerus?
Yep. With Rick Majerus, I mean, I picked them to go to the Final Four 1 year, and they got beat.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember when you did that.
I'd say he's a 4-star, though. On ESPN's basketball rating, so I don't know.
You remember what St. Louis
you
was called?
I don't remember when I did that. That was 2014 when I did
you
that.
Sure?
2013, actually.
I think you did it again a couple years ago.
No, I didn't.
I think you it was somebody like that.
I mean, yeah.
I thought it was St. Louis.
No, it wasn't. I will never pick St. Louis to win in the tournament ever again.
I think I remember it.
No, I don't think you do. It was 2013.
Was that the year they made a run, like a decent run?
I mean, that was the year they were like a 2 or 3 seed. Like, they were really good, but they got beat in the second round, I'm pretty sure. Hmm.
Same thing that would have happened to your group of five Dayton school this year had we had our tournament.
We did have our tournament.
Yeah, I know.
And Dayton won the national championship.
We played rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, and Dayton won the national championship.
You got to win a board bet off that.
Yes, you agreed to it.
I did. But, pretty sure they wouldn't have won in the national title.
I mean, it wasn't just Dayton versus the field. It also had Gonzaga and
none of them would have won.
Villanova.
A Power 5 team would have won the tournament. I think everybody realizes a Power 5 team would have won the whole thing.
I think the Rochambeau gods disagreed. They said Dayton won the national championship.
So now you're saying that the gods are why you beat me?
I'm saying
that they were on your side? Because you took a lot of credit for it the first time. You said you out-schemed me.
Who do you think I got?
Now you're attributing it to the gods.
Who do you think I got the knowledge from?
The gods?
The Rochambeau gods. Or.
Never heard of them.
Spin Zone. Maybe I am a Rochambeau god. Do you think about that?
No. I hadn't considered it up to this point.
Well, it's time for you to think about it.
Well, maybe I will.
Make your decision at that point.
Are they called, what are they called? Are they the Billikens?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
What a weird name. What is a Billiken? Cam, is that some kind of a bird?
It's like a bat, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Bats are canceled.
I mean, is it a Billiken? It looks like a bat, at least. Like, the logo looks like a, it's like a, no?
It's not an animal. It's like a.
It's like a fictional thing.
It's
but
a
like,
charm doll created by an American art teacher.
Yeah, no, it's a fake what? Thing, but does it not look like a bat?
It's like a chupacabra?
It does kind of look like a bat, but.
Kind of like a chupacabra?
A little bit like a chupacabra, but.
Billikens.
It's like a good luck thing.
Yeah, maybe it looks like a bat mixed with a gargoyle.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Like an elf kind of thing, yeah.
It looks like a devil, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's supposed to be good luck.
There's one on their. There's a statue of one on their campus. It kind of looks like a Buddha.
Well, I mean, it's a good luck charm.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about it. A Billiken.
Yeah, how did they come? How did they decide on that one?
It looks like a Buddha mixed with a devil, and maybe an old man with dementia. Interesting though.
We'll see where Trinity Bell ends up at, you know, at Tennessee. He's in the danger zone. I feel like if you are an upcoming senior and you're already 265, 270, you got a real possibility of eating yourself out of tight end, right? Or just growing past tight end.
Yeah. Could end up like Andre the Giant.
Well, I wouldn't go that far of saying you could be Andre the Giant. But you could end up, like I said, getting stuck on the interior defensive line or just becoming a really big Derek Barnett type of defensive end pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still waiting on Derek Barnett to be better than Myles Garrett in the NFL.
I'm still waiting for Myles Garrett to recover the game-winning fumble in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Barnett's got a bigger moment. I mean, Myles Garrett's the better player, though, right?
I'd say Myles Garrett has a bigger moment. I mean, it was just him hitting a quarterback in the head with
a
helmet, but like
it's a bigger moment. Yeah.
I'd say Myles Garrett has a bigger moment.
That's a bigger moment.
Yeah, his really only notable play in the NFL is taking a helmet and bashing someone's skull with it, but sure.
Not as much of an achievement, though.
No, but it's his biggest moment.
Yeah, it is a bigger moment, right? You're right about that.
Yeah.
And I appreciated it for one.
Yeah.
What Myles Garrett did.
Not a lot of plays. I wish he'd do it again. Not a lot of plays jump out to me. Although Derek Barnett did have his, he had a little bit of a trouble game against the Packers this year. I don't know if you guys remember on Thursday night. He had a couple of really bad cheap shots, including that one that knocked that guy out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you're at that level, though, you just, you know, what you got to do what you got to do.
I would imagine right now Derek Barnett's feeling pretty good about his career versus Myles Garrett. So, I mean, like, Myles Garrett, again, number one pick, bigger name. But Barnett, you know, already the Super Bowl ring. Didn't bash in my skull. Hasn't been suspended.
Well, it's all about the rings. That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever has the most rings is the best player.
Tennessee found two commitments this week. Tennessee's been dominating the internet. Some people have a problem with it. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi.
Tennessee's been hot this week. Two commitments. Millions of online impressions. The brand is on fire. But people, I woke up this morning and people were upset. It's been a while since we've had any Knoxville station beef, but here we are. We have found ourselves on the opposite side.
Oh, no.
Of our crosstown cohorts.
What happened?
Somebody over at the other station is mad about the Coach Doug stuff and says that it's dumb and says that they don't like it. And then you had someone else say that they just don't want to be associated anything with Barstool and it's bad and it's no good.
Sounds kind of lame. Why would you not want to be associated with Barstool?
Well, the
they're not professional enough.
It wasn't even that. It was the way they handled the Samantha Ponder thing.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep in mind that these same people that, the same station that, you know, doesn't like Barstool because of the Samantha Ponder stuff also defended Butch Jones all the way through his Title IX lawsuits. And so they don't really care about women. They just want to care about women now. You know what I mean? Like,
they certainly didn't care about Jalen Hurd's mom.
They didn't care about Jalen Hurd's mom, who is white.
Who was white.
They didn't care about her. And like I said, they defended Butch Jones all the way through the Title IX stuff, which doesn't really line up with caring about women either. But the Barstool, Sam Ponder stuff is too far. Tennessee should not be getting into bed with Barstool Sports and Coach Doug.
How lame can you be? That's ridiculous. Who said? Is it anybody that matters?
I mean, I'd rather not like personally bash the people. The first guy, I didn't know who he was. I had never heard of him.
Okay, I see it now. Yeah, nobody knows who this guy is.
I never knew who that guy was. And then
I'm not going to say his name on the air because he doesn't deserve publicity because nobody knows who he is.
But then there was another guy. Like I said, I don't want to like bash him personally.
Hmm.
I'd rather just look at the entity.
That's a shame. Just made up with those guys not long ago.
Do you feel comfortable discussing this? Now that, like, I mean, like I said, there's been a peace offering of sorts. Like, I mean, there has been no real issues. And
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought everything was fine, but this is just, I mean, that's, how do you, you can't be that lame.
And I don't think you can pretend like, I mean, yes, Tennessee has wrapped their arms around the Barstool love, and they have gone all in on it, and the coaches have gone all in on it. The I don't know if you saw, but right at 9 o'clock, the Slice podcast. The Slice podcast dropped a episode with Barstool Big Cat as Coach Doug's talking about it. So, like, I mean, that's going to get listened to by a lot of people, which will ultimately help that podcast gain notoriety, which will then in turn allow the players that then use that platform to gain a bigger brand.
I mean, do they not understand how this is providing exposure for, like, the brand? The Tennessee brand.
I don't know.
They're saying it's a brand you don't want to be associated
with? I don't know. Like, we had no problem over at the university or at the other radio station being in bed with Pilot, who, you know, was being federally indicted for scamming the hardworking blue-collar truck drivers of America, and while doing so, having racial nicknames to talk about the Hispanic drivers. Like, we had no problem taking money from Pilot. We have no problem doing all of that at Tennessee or at the other radio station. So, like, I'm just confused at, like, where the outcry and the you know, the outspokenness of we're going to do things the right way, where that was then. That's my thing about it. And, you know, I don't blame people that don't like the Coach Doug stuff. Like, whatever. If you don't like it, though, you don't have to comment about it.
Why would you not like it, though? I mean, what's so bad about it, you know? I really don't understand. How much of a stiff do you have to be?
Again, it's the fact that there is a portion of the internet, Cody. I mean, this isn't an exclusive take that Barstool's bad. Worse. But there are a lot of people who feel like Barstool is bad. So, like, yeah, I understand not necessarily wanting or being excited about it, I guess. But, like, this isn't Dave Portnoy going on and doing something crazy. This isn't controversial. This is a video game character. And
I don't know, John. I did hear Big Cat say the F word last night during the Twitch broadcast.
Which F word are we talking about? The one that rhymes? Okay.
That one.
So not the homophobic slur.
No.
I was going to say, because that might take it to a level where you're like, okay, let's maybe don't use that when we're rocking the power tee. But the language, I think, is okay.
I don't know. If your suit's pressed too tight, you might not be able to handle that word.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
These are the kind of guys that come in and do a radio show just wearing like, suits. That's what they should do.
To wear suits?
They should come in and wear finely pressed suits to do their professional radio program. That's what they should do. We would never be associated with a brand like Barstool Sports. You want me to press your suit for you? You've got a bit of a wrinkle there. You mind if I take the iron to it?
Do you think it has anything to do with this station kind of going all in with the coverage, like me doing the video? You got Will eating burgers. You got the website pumping out content after content.
They were, like, making fun of Will this morning.
We have really tried to get in on this, or at least have fun with it and attach ourselves to it and support it. Because, like I said, you are getting the Power T and Rocky Top plastered all over the place. And I think it's cool.
Well, it comes down to a very basic thing in life, right? Some people have a sense of humor. Some people don't.
Well, I don't think it's the lack of sense of humor, because they had no problem going to sleep on top of a car dealership to draw attention to Tennessee's, like, SEC losing streak. Like, and that painted the university in a bad light. Like, they had no problem with that. So I'm not even going to go with the state-run moniker here. Like, I know that gets thrown around a lot, but this is anti-state run right here. Like, they are saying, hey, Tennessee, I see you being in bed with Coach Doug's, and we don't like it. So I won't call them state run in this regard. They are taking a stance that's anti-UT, almost. It's kind of weird. And here we are kind of defending it, which...
It's not weird. I mean, they're taking the pro-boring stance, which is typically what they stand for. Not a lot of entertainment. Lots of boring talk. That's typically the side they're on, right?
Boring run radio?
Entertainment level, very, very low. Boring level, very, very high. Dry, unseasoned basic versus exotic.
Again, I'm just trying to make it all add up because they like women now. They supported Butch Jones during Title IX. They liked fun and being spunky whenever they had someone sleeping on a car dealership, drawing attention to Tennessee being losers, but they don't like this coach coming in and not taking things seriously and people liking it. So I'm just trying to keep up with it. I just don't know. But again, like I'll give them credit. Is this the first time they've criticized Tennessee? This might be the first time they've criticized Tennessee.
I'm not giving them credit.
I mean, like, for a station, again, that a lot of people call state-run radio. Like, they are defying. They are looking at the state and saying, no, this is bad. This is a video game character, and we don't like it because they were mean to Samantha Ponder.
They could not care less about Samantha Ponder. They just view Barstool as unprofessional, and it's the same way that they view us, as unprofessional. There's a sector of sports nerds who want to stick to being sports journalists and go by the AP standards and all that and continue to have their journalistic integrity. A lot of people can't accept that things are changing, you know? And
I wouldn't even say things are changing. I would say things have changed already. Like, things have already changed.
It's for far too long, we have been, as a society, too professional about sports. And Barstool perfected the unprofessional model. I mean, me and you kind of look at it the same way, right? We always have, like, it's supposed to be fun.
I wouldn't say we always have, because you used to go to high school games and write about high school athletes, and you were
when I was in college.
You were a very serious journalist. I thought we always saw eye to eye, but we are.
I always looked at it the other way.
The last 4 years, we are, boom, right in line. Right in line, same steps, eye to eye. I mean, you saw we're basically the same height. So,
if me and you stood
toe to toe, nose to nose, we would be looking at each other right smack, eye to eye. So, yes, we see eye to eye.
I always wanted to have fun. I always wanted to have a personality. I had to go the professional route for a little while to break into the field. Okay, I had to do what I had to do.
You have to do what you have to do.
I was never that guy.
You're kind of that guy.
I had to pretend to be that guy for a little while.
I kind of think you were that guy.
No, I had to pretend to
be that guy. It's okay to evolve. It's okay.
Don't call me that guy. I was never that guy.
You played that guy.
I did what I did to get to where we're at now.
Were you going to say the top?
I did what I did.
This isn't necessarily the top.
We're not at the top.
To get to where we are right now.
To get to where we are.
It started out so much stronger.
And I'll continue to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
If ESPN called up and said, we're looking for a replacement for Adam Schefter, you know what I'd do? If they wanted me for some reason, I'd go straight back to professionalism.
Yeah.
It's all about how you can climb the ladder.
Means to an end.
But you got to, I mean, I don't see how you just don't have any fun, you know?
But again, it was okay to be fun when it was going to stay and, like, do some glamping on top of a car dealership. You know, sit up there with electricity and a tent and, like, find a way to drum up some publicity there. That was fine.
It wasn't even original because some guy did it back in, like, the 70s.
Yeah, and that story had circulated. So, I mean, like, that was okay, though. Like, that they didn't need to be super serious then.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, I'm trying to connect the dots, and it's just not necessarily matching up.
Well, you know what?
I thought it was funny, though, that the University of Tennessee dropped their podcast at 9 a.m., though, when the show started. That was the person criticizing the Barstool brand, and that for the Lady Vols UConn game, for the UConn football game they're playing at 3 o'clock, they used a Lady Vols thing. Just Barstool showing respect to women, I guess.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I think about the most bland foods out there,
mm-hmm.
rice always comes to mind pretty close, top of the list, so.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Volunteer Vodka. Round and round, round they go. Your boy, SEC Mike, ranked the 2020 coaches. Do you see his rankings?
No. I haven't seen Mike's rankings.
How would you rank the SEC coaches?
The SEC coaches.
Yeah.
I'd rank them in order, probably.
Yeah.
Like from best to worst. So I would do it.
I usually go worst to best.
Do you really?
Yep.
You start at 14 and count down so that people keep reading until you get to number one.
Have you ever heard me do power rankings? I start at 5 every time.
I do too.
Okay, so I guess you do this way too.
I'm just thinking, like, if you're writing it, though, I guess it would be best to keep people engaged and start at 14, 13, 12, 11, 10.
That's how I would personally do it. I know, like, when, you know, NFL power ranking season comes around, like AP top 25 and stuff, they start at the top.
Order
there,
at the
top,
yeah.
I would prefer to go start from the bottom and then get here.
To start at the bottom and then get here?
Yeah.
Hope that's on our music quiz today.
You, SEC Mike, I don't know if he was just trying to drum up some interest, but he's a name that I think SEC people give some credibility to, and he had Ed Orgeron at number one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Mike did.
Ed O at number one.
Mike's always looking to have a little fun.
Seems a little aggressive, Ed O at number one.
I mean, just based on who's hottest right now, I guess it's...
Is there a case for Ed Orgeron being the best coach in the SEC in 2020? Like, is there a chance that Ed O is now the face of the SEC?
No.
That he has now figured it out. He knows how to have fun. He's not going to play boring football. He's going to recruit. And he's going to fire up his team enough to go out and beat Alabama. And pass Nick Saban. Keep in mind, I know LSU lost a lot of players, but keep in mind, Cody, that Alabama does travel to Baton Rouge this year. Because LSU went and beat them in Tuscaloosa last year. So they will have a chance to have Alabama come to Baton Rouge, to Death Valley.
I mean, look, when you take a look at that game and, like, this year in general, the lack of quarterback play around the conference tells me that any game could, like, between Florida, Georgia, Bama, LSU, Auburn, maybe throw Tennessee in there here and there, I think there will be quite a bit of parity.
Okay, so you look at this year as wide open just because of the quarterbacks. Like,
well, yeah,
no quarterback is so good that you don't see them laying an egg and having a bad game. Like, it's just going to be a toss-up every game, but a favorite team's quarterback could self-combust. Like, I don't even know who LSU's quarterback is.
Right, like Mac Jones could, or what is his name?
Mac Jones.
Okay, not Mac Wilson.
No, Mac Jones.
And not Matt Jones
Williams. I think you said Matt Williams the other day, so.
And not... Brian Williams.
Nope.
Who was a Tennessee basketball player and an NBC anchor.
He might have lied about being an LSU quarterback at one point.
Maybe. So Mac Jones could easily lose them that game in the fourth quarter at LSU.
Sure.
You know? And you could say the same about LSU's quarterback. Like, if Alabama had Tua, without a doubt.
Sure.
I think they win the SEC.
They don't have Tua.
Or if LSU had Burrow again.
Or Thuria.
I take Burrow, I take LSU all day, you know. But the lack of good quarterback play, to me, I think we're going to see a lot of games in the 20s. We're going to see some old school SEC football again this year.
So is there a chance Ed O is the king of the SEC coaches right now? Won a national championship. I don't think anyone's arguing that Saban is on the rise. And I don't think many people would say that Saban is as good now as he was 2 years ago. Agree, disagree?
I agree, but still think the gap between Saban and Coach O.
And that's completely fine, but we all agree universally that Saban is on the decline, correct? That doesn't mean that it's a steep decline, but like he is headed down. He is on the backstretch. He has reached the peak, and he is now winding down.
Would you be surprised if he had one more natty in him?
No, I wouldn't be.
Like,
but I don't think it's going to be a natty where he is the clear-cut best team. Like, I think it's one that he gets to the playoff, and it's like, okay, well, they can win. They're just as good as anybody else. But the days of Alabama versus the field, to me, are gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it used to be. I mean,
is that fair to say the days of Alabama versus the field are gone?
Yeah. Hopefully the days of going into the Alabama game and just knowing you're going to get beat – are over.
I will say that won't be over for us. I mean, I guess there's a chance it could be over this year where we can go in and feel like we have a chance to win. I mean, Mac Jones had pretty good numbers, but I mean, he had two first-round receivers. You know what I mean? And I know he's still got a good receiver there now, but, like, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs were game-breakers, and both those guys are gone.
I'm just saying for a lot of years, like against Georgia and against Florida, we never said we're going to lose.
Well, even though I think a lot of people would disagree about the Florida one.
Even though we did many of those years.
A lot of people thought you were going to lose to Florida no matter what.
It seems to me like there's hope against Florida every year. I look at that the opposite
way. I think that's the problem is you have hope and then you lose 11 in a row. 11 in a row, 11 in a row.
Right, but you don't have hope against Alabama. Like, to me, I don't even like, for the last few years, my dad's had season tickets and stuff, and I've gone to games with him, but I didn't, a lot of times, I didn't even really want to go to the Alabama game because I knew what would happen.
Well, we are beating Alabama this year, so, I mean, I guess your hypothesis is correct. We are beating Alabama this year. That is going to happen.
I don't know about that, but
it is.
I'm simply saying that.
It ain't no guess, it's what's going to be.
I'm simply saying I've never gone into Florida and Georgia and knew for sure, even though I knew we'd probably lose, I never went into those games and thought, you know, we're going to get beat down here. Alabama, you always feel
2017 Georgia, you didn't feel like we were going to get beat down?
You always feel that way. I mean, I figured.
2018 Georgia, you didn't feel that way. 2019 Georgia, you didn't feel like this is going to be bad. You thought Tennessee could win those games.
Don't pick out.
Well, I'm just asking about the last 3 years. Georgia's
hit that
level. You
don't have to nitpick it. Look from 2012 to like 2016.
Well, sure, but Georgia was a team that was ranked in the top 20,
and they've gotten much better.
Right. So I mean,
since Kirby got there,
as Georgia not hit that level though, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
17.
But like,
you knew that. Some people got excited. You checkered the stadium, whatever. You got beat 41-0. Like anyone with half a damn brain knew that was coming.
I don't know we'd get shut out.
Well, but I mean, you knew that you weren't going to win that game.
Yeah.
You knew that you couldn't handle them. At least I felt that way. 2018, 2019, similar thoughts. I mean, not nitpicking. I'm just saying I feel like Georgia's hit that level.
I just don't think it's Alabama level. Because I don't remember going into an Alabama game in the last since 2006 and really thought we got a chance to win this game.
So 2016, you didn't think you had a chance? I mean, you were coming off the A&M loss. You were only
deep down. No,
yeah,
deep down, I didn't. Like, even though we were ranked ninth in the country, I mean, I didn't think it was going to be 49-10.
Sure,
you know, but deep down, I knew Alabama would beat us. But I don't ever feel that way against Florida. Maybe Georgia more so in the last couple of years. But my point is that I think that we're going to start going into the Alabama game and maybe looking at it more like Florida, Georgia.
Well, we're beating them.
Like
in 2020.
Like maybe there's a chance, you know.
I just want to say it again. We are beating them in 2020.
You're going to put that on the board?
Give me 5 board bet wins.
Okay.
5-1?
Yeah, sure.
Now I put it on
sure.
the board.
Yeah.
Put that
on
the board.
Okay, it's on the board.
Yeah. Thank you. I could go ahead and wrap up next year's board bets with just the Tennessee game. Sad to see Crimson Cody back to his ways.
It's going to be 1 board bet win for me. We're not ready to beat Alabama.
Crimson Cody back. We are going to be. I think they play 8 straight games. We're coming off a bye week. Perfect storm.
That's happened before.
Yeah, but you just said we're not going into the game thinking we're going to lose anymore.
I'm saying we're getting closer to that.
Exactly. So the eight straight games and the going off a bye week.
We're not
going to
beat Alabama this year.
It's okay. It's on the board. 5-1. We agree to those odds. 5-1 odds.
You always have to make it some kind of.
Yeah,
you always have to have special odds.
So, do you want to take it off the board? Because it's already on there. You can't really.
You've
take
always
it off.
Got to have some special
Unless
odds.
Permanent
you,
marker.
You can't
permanent
just
marker,
go.
Never mind. It's on the board.
You can't ever just go 1-1. You know.
I mean, you could negotiate. You could have got me down to 3-1 or 2-1, but you gave me 5-1.
It's fine because I know we're going to beat Alabama, or that we're not going to beat Alabama.
Yeah, you know.
I misspoke.
Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2 on deck. Ed O. I do wonder what next year looks like or this year looks like for LSU. Because we do acknowledge Nick Saban's on the decline. But I don't think we expect LSU to keep it rolling, although they do have some elite talent still. Jeremy Pruitt was ranked number 9 behind Gus Malzahn and Mike Leach. Mike Leach number 7.
Mike likes Mike.
We'll kick off hour 2 with headlines. Stick with us.
Implement the coaches. Implement's not the word I'm looking for.
I think indict.
Link. They don't want to give up the coach's identity, but they call him Coach Mac.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You want to be a beast at lifting, at football, at anything in life, you need to have big testicular fortitude. Look at me. I may have a small penis.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
I don't know why he would want the attention.
Hey, he's a grower, not a shower.
On 1340 WKGN.
Isn't it kind of dangerous, I ask? What are the side effects? As he then snatched it away, looked at the label, his eyes grew wide. Oh dear, it says here that side effects may include getting huge with occasional bouts of manliness. He said he had struggled gaining some weight. Coach Mac asked him, do you know why I eat so many bananas? He says, have you ever seen a small gorilla?
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody Mack, collision course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Longtime Jazz coach Jerry Sloan has died.
R.I.P.
At age 78, Jerry Sloan coached the Jazz for 23 seasons. As part of a Hall of Fame career, he died today from complications related to Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia. R.I.P. Jerry Sloan. One of the greatest coaches of all time, says Jalen Rose. You put him in your top 10?
Jerry Sloan?
Yeah.
Top 10 what?
Coaches of all time.
No.
Top 25?
I mean, maybe top 25. This is obviously bad timing after the man has passed, but.
Well, it's when else are we going to talk about him?
Fair. I thought that the Last Dance kind of showed that he wasn't that good of a coach.
Oh, what an awful time to say such a thing.
I just feel like, hey, man, you got Pippen hobbling around. Like,
let's do something
with it. Yeah, like, let's not let old-ass Michael Jordan just do what he wants in the last possession. Let's have some plans. Like, let's win the game. You know what I mean? Like, let's do some of those things. Let's move on. R.I.P. Jerry Sloan.
Okay. So, you did not like Jerry Sloan. We'll move on to the Cavs. Kevin Love. He says, the coronavirus pandemic is another reminder of the importance of mental wellness. Kevin Love is fretting about COVID-19. He's not spending a lot of energy worrying whether he'll get it or grieving someone close to him who contracted it. But he frets because he knows what can happen if people experience the loss of a loved one, become consumed with the loneliness of isolation, experience job insecurity and financial difficulty, and then internalize that stress instead of getting help by reaching out, talking to a health professional. He's worried about everything coronavirus will cause for people.
I mean, that's 100% accurate. I mean, like, the feeling of being left alone, the feeling, I mean, if you lose somebody especially, like, it becomes tougher. But, I mean, it's tough for people for people who struggle to get knocked out of their routine. Sometimes the routine is the only thing that keeps them going, you know what I mean? Like, and then all of a sudden you can't go anywhere and you're just stuck at home by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That could be tough, man. The mind is a scary place when it is not being properly taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Love has tried to speak out against, speak out in favor of mental health awareness a lot. He says he struggles with it, and he tries to go out and represent it and give a voice to those people. And it's been tough during the shutdown. It has been.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, it's really scary what's going on in the world right now, but you don't have to suffer alone. Take it from someone who did that for far too long, says Kevin Love. So he's speaking out again on mental health. Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring has been sold.
Robert Kraft sold a Super Bowl ring for charity? Did he auction it off? Or?
The winning bid garnered $1.025 million.
Okay.
In the all-in challenge. So, yeah, I guess it's a fundraiser. It aims to be the largest virtual fundraiser in history.
Okay.
Its mission is to feed those in need.
Okay. Oh, is it the all-in? The all-in stuff?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's,
good.
It's to feed those in need.
Good deal.
Old me, who didn't know that Robert Kraft was not associated with the Kraft brand, mac and cheese and stuff like that, would have just said, why not just give those people some of your mac and cheese, Mr. Kraft? But then we did an exercise on the show where we learned that Robert Kraft did not come from Kraft Foods.
And you know what we call that?
Growing.
Growth.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to go with.
Growth. But
growing works too.
Growth. Growing. Yeah. But anyway, so Robert Kraft sold us. Are you just going
to use a microphone cover anymore, by the way? It's 2 days in a row.
Probably not. Probably not. I couldn't find it, so figured I would just not use it.
Just raw dogging, huh?
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
I'll spray it down with Lysol when we're done.
You can use that one over there with the spider webs on it.
Yeah, I saw that one. I was like, nah, no, nah, you know, I think I'll just raw dog it.
Any more headlines?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I was trying to think of a good little one-liner about Robert Kraft's ring and something to do with the massage parlor. I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
But that's why I was stalling, because I was trying to think of something.
Okay, Joseph.
Sometimes it doesn't always come to you, you know, with a G at the end, not just the end. Nick Saban, we were talking about him earlier. Did you see his PSA?
I saw a screen grab from it with him just standing in a mask. And the screen grab I had said, you had a quote from The Dark Knight Rises as Nick Saban as Bane. But
I guess he was.
Said he wasn't going to rest until Clemson was in ashes, but it didn't hit the same when you realize Clemson's past Alabama. Didn't hit the same.
I guess it was supposed to be a PSA. About he was taking a shot at Big Al, the mascot, for not wearing a mask and not maintaining proper social distancing.
Oh, Big Dumb Al.
So it was a public service announcement is what it was. So
this public service announcement is brought to you by the folks.
So Saban's team got him showing a little personality, I guess. Wonder if it's because he's getting beat so bad on the recruiting trail right now. Wanted Saban to show a little more personality to to today's youth, maybe. Well, anyway, moving along.
This is a public service.
More than
brought
eight.
You in part by Slim Shady.
How about this? More than 800 former.
Did you know that it was the 20-year anniversary of the Marshall Mathers LP?
No, I didn't.
Yep.
But you're
did you get
telling me that it
about
is
the public service announcement.
Yeah. I listened to some Eminem in my day.
20-year anniversary today, so. Pretty timely, great reference by me.
Yeah,
to do with the opening skit from the album.
Mm-hmm.
On the 20th anniversary, I just thought maybe you would give it a little bit more respect.
Oh, sorry, that was a great reference.
Do you mean it, or did you
no?
Just
I mean
say,
it.
Did you yeah, just
I
say mean, that because I?
No, I mean it.
Pointed it out because I mean it is.
Of course, I mean it.
It is a 20-year anniversary today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And, you know, to be able to weave that in today was pretty good by me.
Pretty good timing on that reference.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
I didn't pick up on it the first time.
Yeah.
Is why I didn't acknowledge it.
Cool.
But now I recognize how impressive it was. And am now acknowledging it.
Okay. Let's move on.
More than 800.
I don't actually care about it.
Of course I do. More than 800 former Kentucky. I got the Kentucky cheerleading story here.
How did another you, one?
It was hard to not be distracted by this. The Kentucky, more than 800 former Kentucky cheerleaders have issued a joint statement in support of the program's coaching staff, which was dismissed on Monday after an internal report revealed lack of oversight and a culture of hazing, along with other incidents of inappropriate behavior, including public nudity and overindulgence in alcohol. You're familiar with the story on Monday. The Kentucky coaches were canned. Head coach Jomo Thompson, assistants Ben Head, Spencer Klan, and Kelsey LaCroix were all dismissed after the release of the report. But now, more than 800 Kentucky cheerleaders issued a joint statement in support of those coaches.
Is that going to matter? Are they going to get their jobs back?
Well, I don't know that. I would say probably not.
You don't think so?
But I think it goes to show that the majority of those involved with the Kentucky cheer program
have
are,
no problem
are supportive
with what's
of
happening,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess the way they look at it is they were just having a little fun.
Just having a little fun.
Yeah. Which goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Some people, no fun. Some people against fun.
Some people don't want to get naked and jump into the lake or be thrown into the lake.
Right. Not everybody knows how to have fun.
Not everyone knows how to have fun.
Clearly.
Not everyone knows.
Have you heard about this?
I've heard about everything.
I don't know if you've heard about this. We'll see. The illegal speed running activity going on across the United States.
The Cannonball Run. Yeah. Like,
How about that?
Are you familiar with the Cannonball Run? Is this
not until yesterday.
That was the first time you'd heard about it.
Yeah.
Well, they made a movie about it where these, right now, it's basically just morphed into these rich people with sports cars trying to drive across the United States. And the world record's been broken, what, five times over the last week? I think it was the number I saw. Like, because the roads are all empty. And they have an elaborate system set up to with spotters to, you know, keep an eye on cops and radio with people. And these rich people with fast cars and time and gas money have been seeing how quickly they can drive across the United States.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild, actually.
Apparently, they have not...
That is the breaking news horn.
We got some breaking news. The SEC has announced it will allow players back on campus June 8th.
Okay.
For voluntary workouts, correct?
Yeah.
Very well.
So, sports coming, trying to come back.
Sports trying to come back.
So these people are apparently going from all the way from Manhattan to Redondo Beach.
Yep.
Which is just south of L.A. in under 27 hours.
Yep. Like I said, the world record's been broken. I want to say, like I said, five times over the last handful of weeks.
Averaging speeds at least as high as 107 miles per hour. 107 miles per hour. You ever run into those people on the interstate and you wonder, like, maybe they're part of that, you know?
I think they're just going faster.
Sometimes they're going so fast. It's always one of those little green cars, you know, low to the ground, that kind of just buzzes. And they're going like,
those cars aren't fast enough, bro. You gotta have like luxury cars to do this.
I mean, I've seen some of those cars going at least 100 miles an hour.
No, man, I know. It's just, I think the Cannonball Run's for the wealthy. Was all I was saying.
For the wealthy?
That's the feeling I got from it.
Do we kind of hope they wreck?
Nope. But I don't want people to die. Why wasn't they wreck into somebody else and kill them? Then would you feel the same way? You didn't watch enough Wish movies as a kid, did you?
What?
Enough movies about getting wishes and the bad things that can happen when you make wishes.
I watched The Jungle Book.
Were there wishes in The Jungle Book?
I watched Aladdin. What's the one with the three wishes?
All little brown boys look alike to you in the Jungle Book and Aladdin. Like you see,
oh my God!
You see one guy, you see Mowgli in the jungle, and you see Aladdin run around the streets, and you just think those are the same boy.
I misspoke. The gypsy, right? Or
the what?
What is what is it called?
The gypsy,
the big blue cloud guy.
I know what you're talking
about.
What
is he called?
It's with not the gypsy.
The three wishes.
It's not the gypsy.
It starts with a G, doesn't it?
Can you take all of his trivia points away from this?
I am blanking. Okay,
How do I lose this guy every week?
It's been a long week, all right?
How do I lose this guy every week?
I'm blanking.
This brain never ceases to amaze me.
I've lost a lot of brain cells this week.
It never ceases to amaze me. Don't give him the answer. We're not leaving.
Never ceases to beat you in trivia either.
I just acknowledge that, dummy.
Yeah, if you're going to call me a dummy right after acknowledging that you're 1-6 against me in trivia.
I am not 1-6.
Okay, 1-5. I beat Cam 1 week. So if you're going to call me dummy, that kind of is reflective of you.
That's exactly the monologue I had. That's the exact monologue I had.
Yeah, takes a smart guy like me to point it out. What is he called?
It's not Gypsy.
The thing.
I can't get over you calling Aladdin and Jungle Book the same movie. That's low key the most racist thing I'd heard all day.
I didn't mean it to be racist. I'm gonna have to get up on the podium. I would like to apologize
to Mowgli
for anyone.
What do you got? You got little brown friends?
Yeah. For anyone who may have been offended, please do not fire me over my statements. Genie.
There you go.
Gypsy, Genie.
Got there eventually.
It took a second, but yeah. The genie in the bottle, yeah. What was his name, though? The blue character. The
I think it was Genie.
The Genie?
I mean, it was Robin Williams slash Will Smith, but I think his name was just
Genie.
Yeah, they didn't give him, like, a backstory, really.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, three.
The Genie had more of a role in the second one. I don't really remember the second one. Didn't the Genie get to actually, like, wasn't the plot kind of built around Genie at that point?
I don't even remember the second one either.
I'm thinking, like, Jafar was trying to steal Genie and turn him bad or something like that, I think was the plot of the second one.
I thought that was the plot of the second half of Aladdin, too.
Oh, was it?
Because, yeah, he stole the lamp. That was part of
just the same movie to you?
The first and second. Aladdin, yes, it's very similar.
Just the same movie?
Yes. Aladdin 1 and Aladdin 2 are very similar to me.
They shouldn't be.
They steal the lamp?
Yeah, he stole the lamp in the first one.
Is the second one about freeing Genie, maybe?
No, he frees him at the end of the first.
Well, what the hell is the second Aladdin about?
I have no
clue. Let's go to
nobody
break.
Watched it.
Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
We may have missed March.
Back on the program, Cam, you wanted to do another list season?
Oh, yeah, there is a list. CBS keeps pumping out these lists, I guess, with not a ton of content, but pumped out a new one.
Which one is this one?
This is the top 25 NFL players under the age of 25.
Okay, Cody McClure, do you want the top 25 NFL players under the age of 25, according to CBS Sports, who wrote it? Fornelli? Prisco.
It was Sean Wagner.
If it's not DeJani, I don't really take it seriously.
Sean Wagner.
Never heard of Sean Wagner. I'm willing to give Sean Wagner a chance. Cody, do you want to hear that, or do you want to go through the NBA's timeline of return? Because sports are getting very close, and it looks like they have locked into a date.
I don't want to pick.
What do you mean you don't want to pick? You have to.
Well, because Cam brought this to the table, I think I'm very excited about it.
We can go.
And I don't want to just say, yeah, let's talk NBA and just shut Cam down his story that he brought.
We have.
But then if
time.
I pick Cam, you're going to be like, oh, of course, Cody never going to pick the NBA. You know, so either way, I got to.
We're going to eventually talk about it. Like,
either way, I got to pick between you and Cam. And it's,
I'll yield to you. Go with the top 25.
Okay. Well,
so what's the criteria here?
So there's no rookies. They're not doing like incoming rookies like Joe Burrow. They're basing it off of what they've done so far, future projection, and positional value is what they say.
Okay, so quarterbacks are going to mean more than cornerbacks.
Yeah. So, yeah, so those are the three kind of stipulations they have on this list.
25 of them?
Yep. Should be able to nail a few.
I mean, number one's going to be Mahomes.
Definitely two.
That is correct.
Mahomes, and I would imagine Lamar Jackson is number two.
Yep.
That is also correct.
Yeah, pretty good guesses there.
Christian McCaffrey should be number three, but the fact that you said the positional value matters, running back might have knocked him down, but I think he's the third best player.
He is not at number three.
Okay.
He is on the list, though. Is
he in the top 10?
He is at number eight.
Okay. Like I said, running back knocks him down. Number three, are we going to get like into some linemen? Because I'm going to struggle with linemen.
Number three is not a lineman. There is a lineman.
Is he an offensive or defensive player at number three?
Offensive.
I mean, it should be A.J. Brown if it's not Christian McCaffrey, but it's not going to be A.J. Brown, even though it should be.
Yeah, any guesses, Cody?
Another quarterback, or are we getting out of quarterbacks?
It's another quarterback.
Oh, it is another quarterback? Oh, okay.
Kyler Murray.
He's on the list, but he's not at number three.
Yeah, no, not Murray. That wasn't my guess. Please don't take that down for my guess.
It won't be Mitch Trubisky.
No, I'm feeling pretty
confident.
It won't
be Josh Rosen.
Not going to be those guys.
Saquon Barkley, is he on there anyway?
He's going to be on
the list,
there.
But he's not.
Alvin Kamara.
Again, we're looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, I've already gotten more than you.
I'm trying to go in order.
To do number three.
Yeah, I'm trying to find number three.
Well, you should be able to know it by now.
A third quarterback.
I mean, I know it.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
It is Deshaun Watson at three.
There you go.
I mean, there's a lineman at four.
Offensive or defensive?
Offensive lineman.
Quentin Nelson.
That's correct.
Quentin Nelson, yeah. I was going to say, is he 20? I mean, he's a beast from the Colts.
Five's a D lineman.
Oh, that's going to be tougher.
Who does he play
for? 5 and 6 are both D linemen.
Khalil Mack's not under 25 anymore, is he?
I don't.
Well, he's not. Okay, so he's not. Okay, I don't think he's under 25 anymore.
He's 28.
Defensive lineman.
Who does he play for?
Pass rusher or tackle?
Myles Garrett.
Pass rusher.
Myles Garrett.
He's at 6, not 5.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing 5.
I got it, though. You lose. I got 6. I've already gotten more than you have.
No, you haven't.
We're pretty close.
Who's the best pass rusher under 25?
TJ Watt.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a, it's not TJ Watt. That's not a bad though. Guess to go. Yeah. I don't even think he's on the list, actually.
All right. Not a good guess then.
Oh, wow. What a stupid idiot you are.
Yeah, he is not on the list.
Who's the best young pass rusher in the league? Did you know this, Cam? I mean, I guess you
It makes
have,
sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
When you tell me the name, yeah, okay, never
yeah,
mind. That's a
like
dumb
it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you'll be like,
would
oh,
would you have been
of
able
course.
To guess it or no?
Yeah, yeah, I
no,
think
you wouldn't
so.
Have. Shut up. I'm a liar.
It's just hard to think around the whole league like at one time, you know? It's just. Are you Googling it?
No, I was Googling somebody's age that I was getting ready to guess, but he's too old. Just give it to us.
Joey Bosa.
Ah. Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
Number 7, the linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Joey Bosa. So damn good.
Yeah. Very, very good.
Not to be confused with Nick Bosa, because Joey's better.
Is he?
Wait. Yeah, Joey's the one in San Francisco,
Nick
right?
is in San Francisco.
Is Nick the one in San Francisco? Joey's the one in San Francisco, isn't he?
I think Joey's the one on the Chargers.
Oh, Nick, wait. Nick is in Nick San not better Francisco. Than Joey?
Yes.
No, I think Joey's supposed to be better.
Nick's better.
Wait, which one is
it? It's got to be Nick Bosa.
It's got to be the one from San Francisco,
Nick,
right?
Nick Bosa, San Francisco. It's got to be Nick Bosa, San
Nick's
Francisco.
Nick's better, yeah. Joey's not better than Nick, is he?
He's a Chargers guy. Yeah, no, I think Joey's just younger. I mean,
Nick's younger, but Nick almost won MVP last year, or Defensive Player of the Year last year.
I guess Joey's better right now. I don't know.
Nick, was that his rookie year last year? I guess that was his rookie year. Is Joey better than Nick? Maybe Joey's better than Nick.
Nick is on the list. But, yeah, they have Joey at 5 for now.
Go ahead and round out the rest of the top 10.
7 is Darius Leonard.
Also from the Colts, right?
So they got 2 in the top 7. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
8
Christian
McCaffrey.
So he's ahead of Saquon.
Yes.
And do we agree with him being better than Saquon? I mean, I guess he's had more production, so.
I'll take McCaffrey all day. 9 is kind of surprising. I probably wouldn't have guessed this one. It's Chris Godwin at the Bucks.
Okay. So is he the best receiver under the age of 25?
Yes. Yeah.
Do
yeah.
we agree one. With that? Because I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
He was really good last year. I'm going to say I guess yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Then 10's Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
For the Steelers.
Yeah, beast.
Anybody else you're wondering? Well, Nick Bosa's at 13, if you're wondering where he's at.
Okay.
Zeke's at 15.
Zeke seems so much older.
Yeah, he's only 24.
He has to be right. Yeah, he has to be right at the edge, though.
Barkley's at 17. Kamara's
so they still think
at 18.
They still think Zeke's better than Saquon, too, yeah. Huh? Do we agree with that? You taking Zeke over Saquon? Yeah,
I got. I'd take Barkley, especially
I don't
with
know,
like
man.
Future projections.
Well, like yeah, if we're looking at heading into 2020, like I would rather have Saquon in 2020.
Yeah. The top corner on the list is Marlon Humphreys at the Ravens at 14. Lattimore's right behind him at 16.
Where the hell is AJ Brown?
Kyler Murray's at 19.
He is AJ Brown is better than Kyler
gonna
Murray.
He's going to be about 23rd.
Cortland Sutton's at 22.
Oh my God, what are we doing here? Cortland Sutton?
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton.
Yep.
Better than AJ Brown.
AJ Brown is coming in at number 23.
At least there's some respect on his name.
Dalvin
right ahead
Cook.
Of Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook.
That the only Titans player on there?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me do one little quick Google search before I get mad. Just 1 second, please. Kevin Byard, age. Okay, he's 26. Okay. Just checking. Jamal Adams isn't on there?
Oh, he is. He was just, Minka was the first safety, so I didn't mention Adams is at...
like 12, 11?
12,
like, okay.
But he's also the third safety because they have him behind Minka and Derwin James.
Okay. I mean, both those guys are good, but...
yeah.
Jamal Adams, okay. Nice to see him on there. Okay. Great, great segment, Cam. Great job. Way better than my timeline conversation, I guess, huh?
We'll do that next?
No. No, we won't.
All right, then.
Do you have the music quiz ready to go?
I do have the music quiz.
Let's do the music quiz next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Got some breaking news coming across the entertainment world. Cam, hit the alarm, please, and give the breaking news.
Woo, 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 woo! Well, Aunt Becky has pleaded guilty to...
Do you not ever say aunt?
No, I'm an aunt person.
Is aunt a white thing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. You say aunt or aunt?
Aunt.
Aunt.
You say aunt?
See, aunt is definitely...
Well, you say aunt?
I say aunt.
No, he says aunt.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Like hunt.
I've
noticed that. He says aunt.
Yeah, like...
This is just a you thing, right? Like, people... Other people don't say aunt, right?
I have no idea.
Heard a lot of people say aunt.
Right, it's like, no. Because, like, I've always called... like, I have a aunt Chanel. I'm always like, hey, aunt Chanel.
See, that sounded more like aunt.
Aunt Chanel?
Aunt?
Aunt Chanel.
Aunt.
Aunt Chanel.
There's an A there.
You hear the difference, though. Aunt, aunt.
Yeah, I know aunt, what you... Aunt. Yeah, but I've always said aunt. And it just kind of comes out.
Is aunt a white white people thing? Aunt.
That's what I'm asking.
I mean, it's not pronounced. It shouldn't be pronounced aunt, but I've always had aunts. I've always said aunt.
A lot of sweets laying around.
Gotta get some.
The NBA has got their. All right, no, give me the breaking news. Sorry, go ahead.
Aunt Becky has pleaded guilty. They pled guilty via Zoom to like a judge. I guess they just kind of live streamed it and asked her how she pleaded, her and her husband, and they both pleaded guilty. And they're supposed to be sentenced later this fall. She pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire mail fraud, while her husband pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire mail fraud and honest services wire and mail fraud.
Okay. So Aunt Becky has pleaded guilty.
Mm-hmm. She...
Her sentencing will be later, though, right?
Yeah. She also agreed. They also did a plea deal. So this is weird because they're going to get sentenced, but they also have a plea deal. And the plea deal was her serving 2 months in prison, pay a $150,000 fine with 2 years of supervised release and 100 hours of community service. So I'm not sure why there's that. And then they're still getting sentences because that kind of sounds like the sentence to me, but.
Yeah, that stuff's always complicated, you know. Yeah. So they always talk
especially
about like
when you're like rich like that, you kind of
play
around with the system, but
and they always talk about like sometimes you take a guilty plea to actually get a better deal, like even if you're not guilty, you know.
I mean the justice system is set up to reward people a lot of times for just taking deals. I mean that's I think that's
because you got to pay them either way. They just kind of want the money out of it. So
well, I mean plus I mean you. This isn't as high of stakes, I guess, but like, say you're on trial for murder, and you didn't murder the person, but they're like, "Hey, you can get 5 years in prison for X for whatever you did or something like that," and you do your 5 years, and then you get out and you're fine, or like, "Hey, you could get 40 to life or 20 to life." I mean, depending, it's just sometimes the risk. Like, if you don't have a good lawyer, you don't feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a pretty big gamble, even if you're innocent. Of going to trial, because there's been a lot of innocent people, and we've seen overturned convictions often, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like people getting out of prison, like, hey, we found some more evidence, actually you didn't do this, and a lot of people just don't want to take that gamble. So
they give you like $1 million and just say sorry.
Sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes like there was one guy that we studied in school that like got out, he had done 15 20 years or something for rape. And he got out and they gave him like $10,000 or something like that.
He was wrongly accused.
It might have been $10,000 for a year he had been in or something, so maybe it was like $150,000 or something. It was something like it wasn't worth it. Like
Shawshank Redemption, I mean, another good example, you know?
Sure. I mean, that's a movie, but I mean, that's an example of when it happened. So
The Green Mile.
But, I mean, I think Aunt Becky was pretty much dead to rights on bribing these people. I don't think that's this situation, but she will it looks like you want to play ball, and it looks like you are taking responsibility, and usually if you plead guilty – they will give you a good plea deal that will then allow you to escape without a lot of trouble. It's whenever you go to trial and you risk it that they will then try to make an example out of you.
Yeah, they filed the plea deal, but I guess the judge has to agree to it, which is where the sentencing comes down the line.
Well,
but
she had acted. She had acted as if she was going to fight, and I guess not.
Yeah, the plea deal was probably the best she could do, so. Because, I mean, 2 months in prison isn't bad. So, she'll be all right.
She has to do 2 months in prison?
Yeah, that's what the plea deal. Yeah, 2 months in prison, pay $150,000 fine, and 2 years of supervised probation and 100 hours of community service.
So 2 months in white-collar prison, yeah. I mean, that's just
make some connections. And
now it gives her some street cred. I mean, I don't want to laugh at going to prison or downplay all that or whatever. I mean, but I mean, did it not give Martha Stewart much more street cred when she got out? Like, she was able to then hop in and partner up with Snoop Dogg and make a lot of money and seem much, much cooler. Like,
she's got tons of street cred.
Right. I mean, like, Martha. Even though she was probably doing a really easy prison sentence, just saying she went.
And she didn't snitch on anybody.
Which I don't know how much she could have snitched. And she was doing insider trading, so I don't know,
who else was
Martha
involved.
Didn't snitch? Like, I mean, is that a thing that people say, or are you just
I've heard that before.
Okay.
Because I think there's, other people involved with the insider trading. She didn't rat anybody out.
So she held it down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She held it down. That's ultimate street cred. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe Aunt Becky can have a resurgence. Like, her star, strangely enough, hasn't been this bright since the mid-90s. Oh, behave. No, I blew that one. Have mercy. I did Austin Powers first. That's on me. That's on me. I blew that reference.
It happens.
Damn it. You wouldn't have known. I should have.
No, I wouldn't
have. The audience would have known, and that's who I'm doing it for.
What did you say? Oh, mercy?
I said, oh, behave, which is Austin Powers.
Oh,
but
behave.
I was supposed to say, have mercy. Have mercy. That's what Uncle Jesse would say to Aunt Becky when she would kiss him.
Mm.
Or she would come out looking like a snack.
Who else was on that show besides her?
Danny Tanner, a.k.a. Bob Saget. Uncle Jesse, a.k.a. John Stamos. Uncle Joey, a.k.a. They call him Uncle Joey, do they call him Uncle Joey? Or is he just Joey? Do they call him Uncle? Is he Unc Joey? Because, I mean, he wasn't really the uncle. He was just a friend. But
I don't remember.
I can't remember if they call him Uncle Joey or just Joey. Just Joey, maybe?
I think Joey was the one that always said, throw me a freaking bone here.
No, that was Dr. Evil. I get it. I get what you're doing here.
We're crossing over shows somehow or another.
Joey said, cut it out.
Sounds kind of like a trash show.
Dave Poyter? Is that his name?
Poyter, yeah.
Poyter, am I right?
It's like C-O-U-L-I-E-R.
Oh, it's a C? Oh, Dave Coyer.
Coyer, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was a P. Okay, it's Dave Coyer. Maybe I was getting Portnoy and him kind of crossed. Okay.
Number two.
That's the guy that you're familiar with, Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know, that song?
Yeah.
She wrote about Dave Coyer. Joey. Kind of weird, huh?
You think she really did?
I mean, that's pretty well legend. I don't want to say urban legend. I mean, that. I don't guess she's ever confirmed it, but that's what everyone says. Which that song's kind of graphic. It's kind of weird to think about Joey being just dirty like that, you know?
Did she have a thing for him?
They dated.
Oh. How old is Alanis Morissette?
I would say by now she's got to be close to 50, I would assume.
Really?
I mean, she's probably 24, 25 in the 90s, so I mean, I would imagine she's...
I always pegged her as a lot younger for some reason. I don't know why.
Are you looking up her age?
Yeah, she was born in 74, so she's 45.
Okay, yeah. She was 21 or 22, I guess, when she released that. Okay. I was going to guess she was 24 or 25, but either way.
Wasn't she in Curb?
Yep.
She did
That was the whole episode of Curb was Larry.
Oh, it was?
That was the secret she was telling Larry was who the song was about.
Yeah. I knew
But then she never would say it. She would just keep whispering it to her. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like, what are you... Because I was curious what you were talking about. I was like,
wanted to know who the song was about.
Yeah, that's it.
And she would whisper. She's like, can you keep a secret, Larry? I've always wanted to tell somebody.
Yeah.
I can keep a secret. So then he tells the other girl the secret because I can't remember why he had had to tell her the secret. Was that in relation to the 9/11 secret? Because he had told no, I don't think it was relation to that. Because remember, he didn't tell Wanda about 9/11, or he told Wanda.
Wanda told him there was going to be a terrorist attack.
Wanda told him, then he told that one girl to try to win her back over. This one woman to win her friendship over. And
right,
because
he had done something in the store, he's like, "Hey, I just want to let you know, nobody else really knows about it." And then everybody found out.
And then no one shows up at the one concert. And I want to say that might have been the Alanis Morris episode. I want to say.
I can't remember if it's the same
episode. He owed somebody a secret. Maybe.
It probably tied in. Yeah. Those episodes are so well done, the way they just tie together.
You ought to know. The NBA's new schedule, at least the rough timeline.
Now we get it.
What?
I was wondering when we were going to do it.
Well, you ought to know. I was going to get to
it. Yeah.
Early June, back in facilities. So, like, as early as, like, a week and a half from now. NBA players back, and we have talked about how they have said they need 28 days, right? They need 2 weeks to get conditioned, 2 weeks to play with the team. Boom, we're ready to go. They're saying they're going to give them a month. Basically, the month of June will be to get ready, and then early July, they will get to the single site that everyone's going to play at, which has growing. It's basically all but done going to be Disney World. And then they will play from the middle of July to Labor Day. With the Labor Day being the end of the season, which would put the playoffs starting, I guess, late July. How many games are they at right now, Kim? Can you look up the NBA standings? Because they have to get to 70. 70 is the key to trigger in all of the local TV deals. So they have to get to 70 to make the money. And I want to say they're at like 64, 65.
They are at 65. The Bucks are 53-12. Okay.
They need five more games. So they would have maybe a 5 or 6 game regular season end. Give, I guess, the Pelicans somewhat of a chance to play the Grizzlies. Maybe they make the Grizzlies just play a best of three to get in the playoffs, since that's like really the only playoff race that matters. Because what's the 8-9 matchup right now in the East? Like, what's the difference in the 8-9? I want to say there's a lot more distance in the West, but maybe I'm off on that.
Magic are 30-35 in the 8 seed, and then the Wizards are 24-40.
Okay, so yeah, that's four and a half, five games. So the East is already pretty much wrapped up.
The Hawks were coming too.
The Pelicans and Kings are right there, right behind the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are 32-33, and then the Blazers have 29 wins, Pelicans have 28.
Kings, I think, have 28 too, right there with them, I think. That's a little bit closer of a race, and it matters a little bit more. And plus, whoever gets that gets to play the Lakers. So, there's some. Do you want Zion? Do you want Morant? Like, Damian Lillard? Those are bigger stars. Like, no one really cares about Washington and Orlando. So, you allow these teams to have a stretch run of some sorts. Or maybe you just do what the NHL's doing. Have you seen the NHL's playoff plan?
What are they doing?
The NHL's playoff plan is basically they're going to do a 2014 playoff.
Oh.
And give, I think, the top 6 seeds it was. Maybe it was the top 8 seeds. Give them a bye.
Do we pretend like we care about playoff hockey again when that happens?
I mean, the Preds fans will care. And we have, a good group of our listeners listen to like the Preds. So,
I mean, a 24 team deal, though. I mean, that's going to be – I guess that means the Preds are in for sure.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah, didn't we have that on the board at one point?
No, we did not.
I said the Preds would be in the playoff.
We almost did.
We did not put it on there, though.
Imagine if we did.
We discussed it, but yeah.
Imagine if we did, though.
If you'll give me 1 second.
And I had the Preds in the playoffs.
That would have been a pretty good coup for you, although I think
would have been great.
We're going to say, we got the board bets right here. So here are the board bets, bet board. We don't have it updated, the Alabama Tennessee 5-1. We don't have the updated. We put one on the board.
Well, we just did that one today.
Yesterday we put one on the board. Georgia finishing ahead of Tennessee recruiting.
Yeah, recruiting.
On the 247 composite. That's not gonna happen. That's just.
I hope you're right.
Happen.
As you see right here, as laid out by intern Hayden.
Yeah, you messed it up.
Here are the pending board bets. 2020. You have the Bucks. I have the Sixers. You're looking pretty good in that one.
Yep, feeling good there.
Next year we have. I take the non-Power 5, you take the Power 5.
So we're repeating that again?
Yeah, we ran it back.
Okay. I still feel great about it.
2022, I have that the British Queen won't make it 2.5 years. that the Queen of England will die before September 25th, 2022.
And I've got her making it longer than that because she's a lizard person.
And you have her making it longer than that because she's a lizard person.
Okay,
I
so that, that's...
I was going to say we have something from 2025 as well. Better NFL career in 5 years. I got Trevor Lawrence. You got Joe Burrow.
Your guy's not even in the NFL.
And then I have Patrick Mahomes breaking Drew Brees' records by the time he retires, and you say no. So those are our pending board bets.
And that one could be decided.
Mahomes will get it done in the next 8 years or so, I would say. Ten years.
That's going to be decided a long time from now. So.
Yeah, so as you can see, I'm up 3-0 as it is.
I don't really like that graphic. I don't.
I just letting the audience look.
I don't care for that.
A PowerPoint presentation for our Periscope audience. As you see, I'm up 3-0. You have 0 wins so far this year. I have 3.
What was the Tua draft pick thing?
You said Tua wasn't going to be a top 10 pick.
Did I really?
You bought into the hype that he was sliding.
The reports that he was sliding.
You took those hook, line, and sinker.
Well, that's too bad.
And guess what? He went 5th where he was projected the entire time.
That's too bad. The rock, paper, scissors, I'm still
You agreed
upset.
To it.
I know I did. I just want to say I'm still upset about it.
And then you said Tennessee.
The Power 5 team would have won.
You said Tennessee wouldn't win. Was it three or four of their last ten
games?
Yeah,
you got me there.
And they did that. So it's 3-0 there on the board bets. And you still owe a punishment. We haven't forgotten about that. We just haven't gotten around to it.
What is this third? We already looked at that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fun. So there we go. There's our PowerPoint presentation. Shout out to Hayden for putting that together.
Gotta get some more on the board, Cody.
Yeah, well, we've put 2 up in the last couple days, I guess.
We're getting back to sports, man. We're getting close to having it back. Board bets will start flowing again. So, like I said, the NBA timeline, they're supposed to get back in the facilities early June, be ready to play by mid-July. They'll get 5 or 6 games in, and the playoffs will start at the end of July. By the end of by Labor Day, most likely, the season will end by mid-September, the draft. After that, free agency, and then Christmas, the 2021 season will start. So, Tennessee fans worrying about Pons. I find it hard to believe that Pons would be willing to risk it all the way till mid-September for this draft. You know what I mean?
Probably not, yeah.
I feel like that'll be a little bit tough. That'll make the cutoff. I want to say it was supposed to be like a month and a half before the draft, like in terms of when you have to declare. So he'll have to make his decision by July, August, which if you're Rick Barnes, you probably want a decision before then, right? Because you're trying to build. If you're Rick Barnes, like, you're trying to build a championship team next year. Like, Tennessee should be sitting over there at TBA in the office thinking, like, we have a chance to go to our first Final Four ever, right? That has to be the goal over there this year.
It should be, yeah. That's what they should be thinking.
And, like, I get that, you know, preseason they're going to be, like, 15th, 16th, somewhere around there. Like, they're not going to be a top 5 team preseason. But they have to feel in that locker room, especially if Pons comes back, that, hey, we can go to a Final Four here. That's the goal. Let's do something that's never been done here before. Right?
It's got to be the goal.
Yep.
Simply has to be. I mean, the guy went 17-14 in year 5. We're all expecting a big resurgence.
And we excused year 5 because of year 6, the prospects of winning big in year 6.
Right, but if you get bounced in the round of 32 again next year.
If you get bounced in the Sweet 16, I'll be upset. Unless you've had a really good regular season. I want to be consistent there. I've always said give me a really good regular season versus a good tournament run.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So if Tennessee goes out as the top 10 team, wins the SEC, wins the SEC tournament, you know, something like that, I would excuse a Sweet 16 bounce. But
I mean, in year 3 and year 4, you had single-digit loss seasons, which to me is always a good sign.
Yep.
When your record is, you know,
hovering around 6 or 7 losses.
You have fewer than 10 losses.
Even after the season was over.
To me, that's a really good year. Yep. So, you know, you went 26-9, and then you went 31-6. So we forgive year 5, and we expect another good year.
I concur. Cam, do you concur?
I do concur.
Although Barnes right now is he's under his career winning percentage at Tennessee.
Really? Which, I mean, that whole first year was pretty tough, but, I mean, you shouldn't have had as bad of a year 5 as he did.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of missed opportunities, you know.
You should not have had as bad of a year 5 as you did. I understand the attrition, people going to the pros. I understand that, but it's year five. Like, you very rarely see that with the elite college basketball coaches. The good news for Rick Barnes is that it also happened to Roy Williams, so you can't get too mad about it because you can just look and say, well, look at Roy Williams in North Carolina. It happens to everybody. Even though it doesn't really happen to Duke or Kentucky, usually.
Yeah.
You can look and say, yeah, it happened in North Carolina. Do you think you're better than North Carolina's basketball program? And any, you know, Tennessee fan with half a brain would have to say, no, we're not a better basketball program than North Carolina. And then you say, okay, well, there's the point. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's got a good roster built now. So I think we're all expecting a good year.
Agree. In case you're just joining us, Tennessee put out a statement. Philip Fulmer says that they are prepared and excited for the return of student athletes to campus. Health and safety have been our top priority as we've gone about this planning process, and we'll continue to follow guidance from medical experts and health officials as we navigate the coming weeks. Our staff and student athletes should be prepared for a new normal, as we'll be implementing changes to how everyone accesses and uses our facilities. We plan to be extremely diligent in maintaining a healthy environment for our student athletes, coaches, and support staffs.
Whole lot of nothing there.
In the coming days, we'll execute procedures enabling student athletes to return, with members of our football program being the first to arrive. We will conduct screening leading to the resumption of activities on June 8th. June 8th is the big takeaway here. So the SEC, remember last week, Cody, we said they were trying to get back June 1st?
Right, yes.
The initial report that said Fulmer was the only AD that didn't like that ended up being false, or there were reports contradicting it saying there are three ADs that didn't want to come back June 1st. June 15th looked to be the target date. Instead, they're compromising and saying, we're not going to do June 1st. We're not going to do June 15th. Let's split the difference. Let's do June 8th. So June 8th. June 8th. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You start negotiating. You start here, and boom, in the middle. There you go.
Yep.
I continue to appreciate the guidance of the SEC's medical task force, as well as the outstanding leadership of Commissioner Sankey and our chancellors and presidents throughout the SEC.
The sign of a good negotiation is when nobody leaves happy. When both parties leave unhappy, that's a good negotiation.
Which I would say, honestly, that the AD's probably left here being happy. Like, I mean, I would imagine they're like, yeah, we got it.
They got
June 8th,
the
plenty
better
of time. Like, we're back. Like, we're back. Football's here.
Yeah.
And at least we get to tell the public we didn't rush back. We wanted June 1st, but we said, no.
Let's wait a week.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's when Ohio State was coming back too, June 8th?
Yeah.
I want to say that was the number I gave out earlier. So, like, you're in step with Ohio State and I imagine some other programs in the Big Ten. So, it's not like the SEC is beating them back saying, hey, we are taking this more seriously. We're being more reckless.
Yeah. I'm just so over this. I feel like coronavirus is such a March-April kind of story. Like, it's such a March-April story. It's not a May story.
Well, this isn't a coronavirus story, bro. This is a return to sports story.
I know, but I'm just saying, let's go. Let's open it all up and let's ride. I want fans in the stadium, too. Tired of speculating about it. Open the damn thing up. I want fans everywhere. I want 100,000 people gathered in one place.
Knoxville's hitting phase two, right? Like, we are opening and running out, right? Like, we're going
to
go.
Yeah, I think it's moving to 75% at, like, restaurants. Okay. I don't think it's full, but, more stuff's opening
if
up.
If Market Square yesterday evening was any indication, we are at the final phase.
Well, I got the
there were people everywhere.
Well, I got the update from my gym, the YMCA, that said you no longer have to wear masks, so I will be going back to the gym. Like, I hadn't gone because I was like, I'm not working out in a mask, like, big boy like me needs as much oxygen to the body as he can get when he's working out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you're bound to pass out in there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not risking that. But they said no more mask unless you're within 12 feet of each other. But I don't need a spotter, bro. Like, just stay away from me. I'll do some work over here by myself. Like, we'll wipe down the machines. We're good to go. So
it's always good to have a spotter.
I don't go with the extra heavy weight.
Just too heavy. Regular weight.
Yeah, too heavy.
A lot of reps.
Sure.
I got an email from my apartment complex saying they're getting ready to open the pool back up.
Ooh,
they're opening the pool.
Really?
Ooh,
so that's keeping it shut.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, public pools, I believe, in the county here can open May 26th.
Oh.
So my apartment people said they're opening up May 27th. The pool, conveniently, right after Memorial Day.
I know people have been going to the pools for weeks.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well. I'm glad pools are getting open back up. I'm a big fan of the pools. I like pools. Love pools. Where do you stand on pools?
I may have to come to your pool.
Come to my pool.
I haven't gotten it. I didn't get in a pool last year. It's been 2 years since I've gotten in one.
Really?
Yeah, other than a bath, a shower, obviously.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
No pool. No water at all last year?
Nope.
Really?
None at all.
I got to get in the water. I
usually do too, but last year just didn't have access
to
a pool.
Just didn't work out?
Come to
my pool, bro.
Okay.
There's plenty of room for both. Well, there's enough room for both of us in the pool.
Yeah, I'll come to your pool.
Yeah. It's only,
are they allowing you to have guests right now? Cause like,
oh, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. They don't know the difference.
Okay.
What are they going to ask if you live there?
Yes.
You just tell them, yeah, I live in 916.
They have wristbands and stuff.
My name is Brandon Warwick.
Yeah, just tell
them. There's Brandon right there. No, that's Rick. I'm not going to tell him I'm Rick.
Well, who's that guy? I don't know. Right after Memorial Day, though.
Yeah, I would never do the rush there. No thanks. Plus, I think it's going to rain all weekend.
Yes.
Which I guess is a pretty good time to remind people we will not be on the air Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, we're taking the week off.
We're taking the week off as a station. Not the whole week. No. Just Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, just Monday and Tuesday. We'll be back.
Well, I'm glad you let me know. I was going to take Wednesday through Friday.
Monday
too.
Right now says 87 and sunny, but thunderstorms on Saturday and Sunday. But Monday might have a chance for you.
We're getting to that part of the year, though, where it could just be scattered storms.
Yeah, it could happen anyway.
Like, we could have some sunshine Saturday, Sunday, and like maybe a little storm here and there, maybe.
Did they call Joey Uncle Joey? Did we ever get an answer there?
Well, when I Googled it, I think I Googled it, and he didn't come up when you Googled just Uncle Joey.
Full house.
I need to hit up my friend who has a boat.
Put Full House in front of it. But
Full House, Uncle Joey.
I'm going to go out on the lake.
Jesse also insists his children call Joey Uncle Joey as a sign of respect. So Jesse said to call him Uncle Joey, but Jesse's kids weren't the main part of the show. Right, I mean, they were like in the later seasons, Nikki and Alex. Like, we're looking at Michelle and DJ and Stephanie. Like, did they call him Uncle Joey?
You have to watch an episode of Full House.
Okay. Let's last call on the other side.